Hello and welcome to The Wound Doctors, a podcast series dedicated to the study and improved treatment of wounds. These episodes are brought to you by ConvaTec, pioneering trusted medical solutions to improve the lives they touch. My name's Rod Murray, and I have to be honest, what a revelation this past year or so has been for me. As a layperson, it's been fascinating to peek into the world of medicine and caring for people, treatments and technology, and all that this industry entails. All of which, is, of course, business as usual for my co-host, where the clue is in the title, Dr. Fran Henshaw, who joins me now for a bit of a look back over 2022 and some of the diverse range of people and topics that we met and covered. Dr. Fran, welcome.
Thanks, Rod.
Dr. Fran, we've been at this for a bit more than a calendar year now. October 14 last year was our first proper episode. We chatted with Ainsley Davis about Foot Health Week. 32-odd episodes since, we've covered lots and lots of ground. So today's episode's our final one for 2022 and an excellent opportunity to look back at some of the highlights. And because I'm a layperson and know nothing about this stuff, I'm throwing it over to you to guide us with what you found sort of the most interesting as we went through the year.
Yeah, Rod, what a journey it's been. And I remember how this podcast came around, and it was because we were trying to find ways to educate our sales team at ConvaTec, and we decided to make podcasts because they drive around all day. And then you suggested that perhaps people might be interested in wounds. And of course, I was delighted at that suggestion.
You thought it was only you, didn't you?
Yeah. So we rounded up some people, and I remember Ainsley Davis, who's the director of the Podiatry Association, because she was awfully good with the microphone, wasn't she? She's a singer or something.
I don't remember much else about it,
but I was very impressed with her. And another person I was really impressed with, who was one of our early guests, was the lovely Bill McGuinness, and he's an associate professor with a long history of wounds. And he'd come fresh out of the paddock from his farm in Jeeveston,
He had. And Bill was a fabulous example of what I've been both surprised and delighted by over the course of the year. Medical people are just people, Fran. When they're not doing medicine, they're doing stuff that the rest of us sort of people. And Bill was a terrific example of that. He had a sense of humor as well as a sense of caring. He's a normal sort of bloke who does stuff on the farm and understands what other normal people go through. I was really impressed with Bill. I thought he was terrific.
I thought he was terrific too, because he's got this warm, compassionate side, but exceptionally knowledgeable and most importantly, fun. And we did have a bit of fun with Bill that got us into some hot water, actually. Bill was talking about, I don't even know if I dare say this again, but bribing patients with chocolate frogs. And, you know, I was horrified giving chocolate to a person with diabetes, but not half as horrified as some of our listeners were, who said this was against every tenet of patient care. But I have to say, to me, it's whatever you can do to get through to somebody. And I think he was just having a laugh and a joke. And I think sometimes we have to treat our patients like people, and some people like to have a bit of fun. And it's not about telling them what to do and making them consume healthcare. It's about having a bit of a giggle.
Absolutely. And there were themes that developed, I felt, over the course of the year. And one of them was exactly that, people are people. There's not a smoker in the world who hasn't been told and doesn't understand that smoking is not good for them. So if your goal is to get them to stop smoking, you've got to come up with something more effective than saying it's not good for you, don't you? And that's a fine example of that, what you're talking about.
Exactly, Bill. Exactly. And I think we have been lucky to have some guests who've really made light of things. And that sometimes helps us to understand concepts better. And one of the stories that really sticks out in my mind was we had Ian Reid, who's a podiatrist. He's now moved on. He works for the medical council, but he was explaining why people with diabetes lose a feeling in their feet. And he had a story about a frog, didn't he?
Didn't it came halfway across Malaysia or something? Was that this from memory in somebody's shoe?
Yeah, they'd acquired it in Malaysia, I think. Brought it across the border and it jumped out of the shoe, this giant frog in Singapore. So, you know, things like that. It really helps to illustrate how severe not feeling your feet can be, because you can have a frog as an interloper in your shoe and not even know about it.
I was horrified by some of the stories both of you told, both in the show and outside the episode, about things you've seen because people have no feeling in their feet. It's nothing to laugh about, is it? So making light is not making a joke about it. It's serious business.
It's helping people to understand it. It's very important that people understand that they can't feel their feet. Yeah. And if we can get this concept across to people in a way that they understand, I think that that's very, very helpful. Talking of funny stories, I'll never forget the episode. And I think this is the most popular episode when we look at the ratings, and it's one about debridement. And
how many times have you listened, Fran, would be my first question.
I think only twice, actually. I'd, I don't generally need to go to sleep listening to my own dulcet tones. And when I listen to all my ums and ahs and bits that I wish had been edited out, I usually stop listening after about 5 minutes. So, but there was one where we were talking about maggot debridement, and
I think you tried to dress it up as biological debridement.
Yeah, that was back in the beginning, wasn't it?
When I was still being nice. That's right.
I still had some semblance of trying to act like an academic that I used to be, but I think that's got out the window now.
Dear, oh dear. Yes, I do remember that one. Biological debridement. I was horrified. In fact, I think if I recall, I was completely taken with the notion that somewhere in the New South Wales health system exists a form for maggots that
yes.
you have to fill. I'm undertaking biological debridement. I need to go and get form 153-2/C because that's the form
yeah.
that you need.
And I think there was another form when you had to give them the funeral afterwards. Yeah,
that's
wasn't
right.
There?
Well, that's right. We did talk about all that sort of stuff. What else did we get, Fran?
Well, I think one of the things that I'm quite proud that we managed to cover were the more unusual topics to do with wounds. And we were very lucky to get Professor Debbie Turner on, who's from QUT, and she's an expert in rheumatology. And we were actually talking about this concept that people with rheumatological conditions get a lot of wounds. They have worse healing outcomes than people with diabetes. But we don't seem to connect rheumatological conditions like psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus with wounds. And I think it's because the diagnosis of diabetes is pretty binary. It's type 1 or type 2. There's a couple of bits in between, yeah. but it's, you know, generally you're talking about the same thing. Rheumatological disease has about 250 yeah. diagnoses. So Debbie made this really clear case that we don't know enough about it, but we know it's really devastating. And one of the things about rheumatological disease is that these people usually do have the feeling in their feet, whereas our patients with diabetes often don't. So they get a lot more pain and suffering. So I know that in the UK, for example, they now have dedicated rheumatological clinics for people with foot ulcers. And I think there's one at a hospital in Sydney, but there's very few services for these people. So it's great to be able to highlight that, Rod.
And that's a bit of a tick in the box of podcasting too, isn't it? This is something you can explore in a medium like this. It's very difficult perhaps in other mediums to have that kind of discussion and make those contacts with those sorts of people.
Absolutely. And I have to say, I've learned a lot myself. We had Joseph Frankel, who's a podiatrist, who's an expert in dermatological conditions. And he talked about when a wound is not a wound. Yeah. And he was talking about this thing that can happen to your leg. And frankly, I've seen it a lot, but I didn't know a right lot about it. So it's great to be able to just pick up these things as I go along and realize what a better practitioner I would have been if I'd known it 20 years ago.
These specialized areas of interest that people have that come across the general broad work that you do, but that you might not have given a lot of thought to, really opens eyes and educates. That is the actual key to education, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I would say I'm probably more knowledgeable in wounds than the average bear. I've done a PhD in wounds. I've taught in a university. I've worked clinically for a long time. But I'm never confident that I know everything. And it really points it out when you get these exceptional guests on the podcast.
Yeah, indeed. Joseph was fantastic, by the way. We had Joseph in studio, and in-studio interviews are always the best by far when you can sit with people. Always the best, which we couldn't do a lot of, obviously, during the pandemic and whatnot.
Yeah, no, we did miss out on those opportunities quite a lot. And I remember another guest we had was Matt Malone. Matt's just been made an associate professor at Western Sydney University. And he was talking to us about biofilm.
Which I honestly thought was going to be boring. And I'll be honest with you, Fran, it wasn't.
No.
It was fascinating.
It was really interesting. So we know that bacteria is everywhere and it lives what we call planktonically. So it lives by itself and it's quite easy to get rid of with an antiseptic or an antibiotic. But he was talking about this concept of bacteria aggregating into these communities that are really sophisticated and become very tenacious in evading treatment. And the line that I don't actually know if it made it into the podcast, but I remember this conversation I had with him. He was saying about how they decommissioned a hospital ward and they swabbed the whole ward with alcohol to get rid of all the bugs. And then they went back and they looked and the biofilm had reestablished itself by stealing the water out of the alcohol.
Water out of the alcohol. It did make the podcast and I thought that was intriguing as well. That one was particularly pertinent, Fran. One of the things that you don't almost ever do on this podcast is mention ConvaTec and their products, which it's kind of not the point of the show, but
yeah.
it is the industry competition.
Do you think this might be career limiting for me, Rod?
We'll have a discussion after we turn the mics off perhaps about how that might work. But that area that Matt's working in, ConvaTec, have actually been doing some work in that area, haven't they?
Absolutely. So the reason we got Matt on is that we launched this year a new wound dressing called Aquacel AG Plus Extra. I know it's not the nattiest name in the world, but we had Aquacel AG and now we've got Plus Extra added to it. And what we've done is we know that AG or the silver that was in the dressing is very effective at eradicating bacteria. But what it couldn't do was actually penetrate into the biofilm to get effectively at the bacteria. And this was a problem that all silver dressings were having. So they weren't having the effect that we could see them having on single bacteria in these communities of biofilm. So the clever people at ConvaTec actually put two agents, one's called a surfactant and one's called a metal chelating agent. And basically these are agents that can disrupt and destroy the biofilm so that the silver can get in there and kill the bacteria. So it's almost like scrubbing the surface off the bacteria that's protecting it, and then the silver can get in there. And this dressing, I have to say, has been a game changer. We've been so fortunate to be able to get so many great healthcare practitioners evaluating it for us, and that some of the stories we've seen, don't know if you see stories we've heard have really changed people's lives. And we're talking people who had wounds for 5 years that were healed in a couple of months.
From the outside, that feels smell like that's an actual big breakthrough. I imagine that in the research and development in wound care, wounds have been around a long time, wound care has been around a long time. The products, I imagine, it's difficult to come up with anything truly innovative. This sounds like it's actually truly innovative.
It really is. And I think it is the only product on the market that can actually disrupt the biofilm so the silver can do what it needs to do. And it's also in a dressing that holds a lot of exudate. So we've got this other thing that we're not having to change wound dressings quite so often. And obviously that saves people a lot of time. It can save a lot of pain and it can help wounds to heal more quickly, because every time you monkey around with them, you tend to stall healing for a little bit.
Yeah, of course. All of those guests were local here in Australia, whether we managed to get them to the studio or not, Fran, but we're not limited here at the Wound Doctors, are we? The whole world is our oyster. We had some really interesting international guests as well.
We did. Our first international guest, I believe, was Holly from ConvaTec, and she worked in the R&D department, and she was really quite fascinating to talk to, because this R&D department is a bit of a mythical beast to me that I hear a lot about, but I've never really poked
my
nose.
R&D said this and R&D said that. Who are these R&D?
So she actually went through and told us about how products are brought to fruition. And there's a lot going on in the background with ConvaTec. She was telling us about this company that's got these biologic dressings that are being brought to market as well. I think that's something that's going on in the States. So another fascinating person we had, another POM, actually. Am I allowed to say POM? I suppose I am, because I am one. Is
you can.
A chap, yeah, that's right. A chap that actually lives down the road from my mum and dad. His name is Ivan Bristow, and he's another person who's really into dermatology. And he was talking about fungus. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. It was a little disturbing, but it was really interesting.
I know. Do you remember the bit that I remember, Rod, is that he was saying that a lot of people end up with fungus in their groin because they're pulling their underpants over their fungal toes.
Exactly right. Yes, it was like, and so how do you avoid that? There's no way. We need a solution here, Ivan, not just a problem. That's right. Oh, fantastic stuff. Yes, let's move on. Just on Holly, by the way, I thought it was fascinating to talk to Holly, and I came away from that discussion thinking, in some ways, it's a miracle that new products ever get developed. The complex factors involved in getting something from an idea to a market where it actually fulfills a role, what an extraordinary thing that happens in between.
Oh, absolutely. And I was lucky enough, actually, back in September to go to our head office, the ConvaTec head office in Deeside. And I remember in the R&D for this new dressing, the Aquacel AG Plus Extra, they tested 60,000 compounds. And one of the R&D people said, do you want to come and see how we tested these compounds? I was fascinated. I expected, you know, like the NASA mainframe. There's this little machine. It's about the size of half a microwave. And I was like, oh, is that it?
This laptop here that I have lying around, we decided to use that. It is quite amazing, isn't it, how simple some of the techniques can be to get these extraordinarily complex outcomes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was a particularly cheap or simple piece of equipment. I imagined, you know, something like out of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory with all these people running around and rivers of, I don't know, sludge and chemicals.
Not how it was. Dr. T from America, our first American guest. I thought Dr. T was fascinating. I sidetracked things a bit, I guess. They're talking about systems and medical systems and how they work. But Dr. T had some really interesting stuff to talk about in terms of her specialty area.
Yeah, well, she's a podiatrist, and podiatrists have a slightly different scope of practice in the US. They perform surgery as well. It is possible to do surgery as a podiatrist in Australia, but very limited training opportunities, so there's not very many of them.
Which is where I sidetracked the whole thing. Well, why is it okay there and not here? But anyway.
That's all right, because you actually ask quite interesting questions sometimes, but I'd never tell you that.
That's right.
And what she was talking about was doing simple procedures like straightening someone's toe so that they don't get an ulcer on the bent part of it, and then preventing them from getting a diabetic foot ulcer. So it seems very radical to perform surgery on someone to prevent something from happening. But the way she talked it through with us, it's actually a very logical thing to do.
It made a whole lot of sense. She was very, very impressed and very active on social media. If anybody's interested, go and look up Dr. T. She's got a very active YouTube channel and Instagram and all those things. She's really terrific.
Yeah, she was a delight.
She really was. Next.
Next. Well, we've looked at our international guests. We've actually had a few First Nations guests. We had Hayley Ryan, who is head of Wounds Australia, and she came in and talked about skin tears and just giving some tips and tricks to prevent them. Because skin tears are these things that we don't give much thought to, but then sometimes we can get sidetracked with other things and a skin tear becomes something that's
serious,
really
yeah.
serious and hard to treat. So she really highlighted that for us. She's an amazing presenter as well, isn't she? She's one of those people that I always wish I was as articulate as Hayley, but then I think that about most people on our podcast. We also had James Charles. Do you remember James?
I do remember James. James was fabulous. At the Women's Australia conference, we spoke to James. He was terrific.
Yeah. So he was talking about health inequality and what we can do about it so that we can close this gap where First Nations people are not getting such good health outcomes. And, you know, he had this really positive spin on it, I thought, because it's very easy to, you know, just sit there lamenting on the problem, but he really had some practical solutions.
I agree.
And so that was wonderful.
And foundational. I found what was really interesting about what he was saying. The effects of what James is doing now will really be felt in a generation's time. It'll change the way people think a generation from now, and that will change the health outcomes as much as anything you might try to do immediately.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, we had at the other end of the spectrum, we had someone who had a really immediate problem, and that was Leslie Salem, who's an Aboriginal nurse practitioner who works up in the Gulf in far north Queensland. And she was talking about how children are getting very simple scrapes and sores called school sores or impetigo. And then these are getting a secondary strep infection. And these are causing heart problems for the children and early mortality. And it was absolutely devastating to see that things like this are going on in Australia in this day and age. And, you know, we really had a bit of a call to action there.
Yeah, heartbreaking and quite shameful in many ways. And I think you had a little bit, you might have done some things to try and help.
Yeah, we are.
Leslie,
we're looking
there.
At working, and I had an email actually from our head office today about that. So hopefully.
Fingers crossed. That's medical practitioners doing what medical practitioners should be doing, which is helping to solve health problems for people, particularly a health problem like that, that should not exist in this day and age. Next.
The final thing, and the thing that has resonated most to me, is actually around hearing stories about patients whose lives have been improved. And Convatec, as you may or may not be aware, are rebranded this year, and their tagline is now Forever Caring. And I think it is about doing the best for our patients. And certainly I've had instances, well, I work for Convatec, where, you know, I've had to talk to patients about their problems, and sometimes we found solutions that are not entirely Convatec, but I think we just want to do the best by our patients. And we've had some really great patients to talk to. So we had a nurse called Alison, I can never say her name, Vahello.
Who was delightful, by the way.
She's delightful. And she had this really interesting story about when the doctor became the patient. Mm. So she had a patient who was a GP, and he had a rheumatological wound. So that kind of comes full circle with what Professor Turner was saying about people with rheumatology conditions having bad wounds. And it was a story about he'd been all around the houses. He'd seen every man and his dog about this wound. And she ended up using one of our products, Aquacel AG and Aquacel Plain. And after a while, we got this wound heal. Well, she did. I didn't. And but
you,
I think it was all about, again, finding the right path, very simple approach, holding your course, not changing your dressing every 5 minutes, not changing your mind every 5 minutes, getting some buy-in from the person who owns the wound, and this really changed this person's life.
I mentioned earlier some themes really emerged over multiple episodes, and that was one of them was it's very easy in science and medicine to see a problem, which is just very black and white, and a solution. People don't work that way, do they, though? And I think it feels to me like medicine's coming to understand that that simplistic, here's the problem, here's the solution, needs to take into account that middle ground of all of the range of crazy emotions that we all as humans bring to it and work with that as well.
Absolutely. I remember we had a couple of wound nurses from Queensland. We interviewed them at the Wounds Australia meeting, and they were talking about people not wanting to wear compression therapy. Well, I can understand if you live in Cairns and it's the middle of summer, you probably don't want your legs with four layers of bandages on them. So, you know, we have to take into consideration people's ideas, concerns and expectations. And I think that's something that we're certainly doing better now than perhaps 20 years ago.
It felt to me like everybody was sort of aware of this issue, and everybody we spoke to in the industry and in the care industry was aware of this and actively so.
Yeah.
In a positive way, trying to push it forward, yeah.
Absolutely. And the last person who I think would be a real highlight from this year was Dean Clifford. So Dean Clifford suffers from a rare condition called epidermolysis bullosa, and this causes quite catastrophic skin damage. And Dean didn't really spend a lot of time telling us about catastrophic skin damage. He told us about what he could do. And really, you know, he was so inspirational, wasn't he?
Off the chart, so. You occasionally met him. Lucky as a journo, most of all, if you meet some really remarkable people through your work doing stories. And I put Dean very much in that category. Most people probably won't get the chance to meet Dean, and that's a shame because Dean is beyond an inspiration. Very special human being, I thought. Extraordinary attitude given the circumstances he lives under.
Absolutely. And he's one of those people that gets out of bed every morning. He has a very convoluted skin care routine to look after the wounds.
4 hours, I think he said, each day just to get the day started.
Imagine doing that. It's like having a job that you're not paid for, isn't it? And you can't have the weekends off or anything like that. So he was really inspirational because he didn't really dwell on that. He just talked us through his day, and the highlights were things like the public speaking he does and the weightlifting.
Weightlifter. He lived a lot more weight than you and I could combined, I can assure you.
That's not hard in my case.
No, that's not that hard in my case either. But it's the last thing you'd think. And I guess for me, what I took out of that was that for so often people who've got a condition, we always assume the can'ts, what they can't do. And he was a fabulous example of someone who said, yeah, but here are the things I can do. And it's a real shift in perspective for those of us on the other side. And that's really important, I think.
Oh, absolutely. So, Rod, I'd like to think that you actually have a little bit more understanding about wounds than perhaps you did 14 months ago when we started this podcast.
I think I do. Not really technically. If I got a wound, I'd actually come and see you and have you treat it. But I tell you that I've learned a lot of things that I think are important. And the first one that I keep coming back to, and I must have said this 10 times on the podcast, wounds cost the Australian health system $3 billion a year. And much of that could be saved with better, smarter, better researched wound care. Yeah. And that is a simple-ish solution. So that is the one thing that I really took from probably more than any. Most people, wounds aren't glamorous, are they? They're not the sexy charities. Breast cancer, prostate cancer, those sorts of big illnesses attract all the money, the charitable dollars, the publicity. Wounds don't, but it's almost this not quite silent but very quiet and unnecessary medical area, which with a bit of focus, a bit better organisation, some better administration, could be a whole lot better for both the system and the people within it.
Yes, you're entirely right. And I think one of the things is that it's possible to make – we already have some of the technology. We're not trying to find a cure for cancer. We just need to put the investment into knowing where to deploy it more smartly.
Figuring out the applications that are going to bring that $3 billion bill down and simultaneously make all of those people within that system who are suffering with wounds make their lives better. It's a win-win. You can't see any way to talk against it. So that's probably the biggest thing I took. And the other one, of course, was, which we just did recently, was this notion of frailty. Thinking now about what life is going to look like in 15, 20 or 30 years and being a bit sensible with the way you go about things, much of what we discuss can probably be avoided, which is always better than cure, by being a bit sensible about the way you live your life.
Yeah, that was a really interesting interview that we did with Mark Hohenberg, who's a geriatrician, and Margot Asimus, who's a nurse, talking about this concept of don't wait until somebody's lying in a bed getting pressure injuries, actually keep them active. And frailty mitigation, I think, is something that's really important. And I feel really pleased that we managed to highlight that.
Cut it off at the pass. And Mark, of course, has this fabulous setup in his new vision where he teaches people how to fall.
With his wobbly floor.
I can't get over this mental picture of all these elderly people learning how to do commando rolls.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Fran, we've met some fascinating people. We've talked about some fascinating stuff. We haven't reinvented the wheel, but I think we've turned it in a different direction and looked at it from a different light. I've certainly enjoyed it. I think you've enjoyed it. I hope the listeners have enjoyed it, but it's been fabulous to catch up again today.
It has, Rod, and thanks very much for taking this trip down memory lane with me.
Most enjoyable. That is The Wound Doctors for this episode and for 2022, but we will be back in 2023 with more here at The Wound Doctors.